the Rebel Sports Network from Learfield, live from Born and Raised. This is the Tony Sanchez Show, presented by Fenley Toyota. This is your home for the UNLV Rebels. Now with Caleb Herring and Steve Cofield, here's the voice of the Rebels, Russ Langer.
All right, very hearty welcome to you live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. We got nearly a packed house here with screens and food and people and atmosphere and all kinds of good stuff. And we have head coach Tony Sanchez, Caleb Herring here with us as well, Chris Hernandez, our outstanding engineer. And we're at Born and Raised. Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. They're here on Warm Springs between Buffalo and Durango, right off of Cimarron. They're also in Henderson. And they'd like you to know about the following. Promos for all UNLV games, including $3 Bud Light or Mick Ultra drafts. Of course, that includes hoops as well as football. $4 Estrella Jalisco drafts. $20 100-ounce Towers of Bud Light or Mick Ultra. $20 buckets of Bud Light or Mick Ultra bottles. Brand new happy hour with 40 items to choose from, including all appetizers and sliders, all for $6 or less. Hard to beat that deal. Food's really good here. Promos for all NFL games include the same beer specials I just mentioned as the UNLV specials, along with $5 Jägermeister shots, $5 Absolute Bloody Marys on Sundays. And then there is Bar Plinko. For all Sunday night and Monday night NFL games, guests can play Bar Plinko. Every guest gets a paper jersey of an offensive player from that night's game. If your player scores, you get to play Plinko for a chance to win, well, shirts and hats, beer towers, appetizers, car washes, passes for a pole position raceway, and how about tickets to an NFL game? Born and Raised, they got it going on for sure. The Rebels looking forward to their last game of the year. It's coming up this Saturday, 6:30, kickoff against the in-state rival Reno team, the Wolfpack. But first, coach, the game against Hawaii, you might call it paradise lost. The Rebels played so well for three quarters, really fairly deep into the fourth quarter before they let things slip away.
Yeah, you know, it's a frustrating deal when you look up, you're up 15 points, and you just know you just got to make a couple plays there. I mean, we make one of those conversions in the short down situations. We make one of those plays in the secondary, and you're going to win that football game. But it's down to making the plays when you get opportunities. But like you said, our guys came out, executed a great game plan. I thought Coach Skip put a really good defensive game plan together, you know, good enough to get their starting quarterback bench, really shut down the run game. Offensively, one of the things that, you know, we had done 2 weeks in a row was run the ball really well early in the game. That really, I mean, again, it helped the defense out not being on the field. We kept moving the chains. We sustained long drives. And they're a real explosive, fast-paced offense. They want to be on the field. So keeping them off the field kind of, you know, deadens their pace a little bit. So we did that for a little over three quarters and unfortunately did not come away with the win. So you got to execute better at the end of the game.
Would you agree that, because Caleb and I were talking about this on the air, that perhaps the turning point was in the second half, Rebels had a semi-comfortable lead. Hawaii had the ball, fourth and five at the 50, converted. Then they had it fourth and four at the 28 and converted that too.
Well, I mean, really, that's the difference in the game. They're converting of the fourth downs and us not. We got one in the first half.
Right.
The first half, we were 5 for 5 in short yardage situations. We had two third and shorts, third and two, I think twice. We had two third and ones in the fourth down, and we got all of them, right? Well, the second half, right, we were 0 for 4. You know, we had two third and twos that turned into fourth and ones. Didn't execute either of them. They got those two fourth downs, and that's really the difference in the game.
So the game plan, obviously, we talked about it before the game, and we saw it as it unfolded, keep the ball away from it. I think that contributed a lot to the fourth down going for it in the first half, obviously trying to keep possessions alive and keep them off the field. Did that give you confidence in the second half that you wouldn't have that letdown? Because all indicators would say fourth and one, third and one in the second half. We've gotten this all game to this point. So was that – you know, a confidence booster going into those situations in the second half?
Well, it was. I mean, you know, obviously you'd love to avoid the fourth down by converting on the third and shorts, you know. With those fourth down situations, I mean, you know, we had one with a track play, one was a power play. And we know they're going to go ahead and they're going to load those areas, right? And but we got to do a good job of creating movement. That's all that is. I mean, it don't make a difference if they know what you're doing. And not that they did, but, I mean, there's two different plays in those situations. But you've got to play with great pad level. You have to play with some urgency. You got to create movement. And unfortunately, on the power, we had a guy coming around. He ends up, you know, tripping and falling over. And, you know, and that there's a difference right there. So, again, it comes down to, you know, those critical moments you execute and raging off the ball.
The team, as you point out, seemed to run the ball in the first half. It's maybe the best the offensive line has played for a while.
It is. I mean, they looked really good. And, you know, and the good thing about that is we got some new starters in there. So Justice Oliver Shone, now he started his third game. And Matt Brayton was the second start. So you've got a freshman and a sophomore getting their first couple starts in these last couple weeks on the left side of the line. So really good to see those guys play as well with Jaron Caldwell out.
And then that could pay dividends the next year or two. Those
yeah,
guys
you know,
getting their feet wet.
That's the one thing, too. When you do have injuries, so like having Zach Singer out, you know, for multiple weeks now and also Jaron Caldwell, other guys got to step in, you know, and it's really, really good to see. Donovan Outlaw started the majority of the season and lost his job to Justice. So, you know, when you look at it, there is, you know, coming back next year, you've got about eight guys that have at least three starts under their belt.
So those guys all coming back. I know you're going to be missing one guy, though, that the guy carrying the ball, Lexington Thomas, who had another big game, set a UNLV record. So talk about his growth, his maturity, and where he got to and what it meant for you as a coach, coaching him his 4 years, for him to go ahead and get that record last week.
Well, I tell you what, today at practice we were watching him run around, and we were in our good-on-good deal, and I yelled to the guys, come on, guys, let's roll. This is the last good-on-good of your career here. You know, and the guys were like, they kind of looked at me, and he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, you'll never put shoulder pads on this field ever again because we got to walk through tomorrow, and then you got the run through on Friday. His eyes kind of got big, you know, and it's one of those deals where it's sad. You can't think about it now until after the game, but you do, you know, and you know, you look at a guy like that, and you fall in love with these kids, you know. I mean, you meet them as kids, and then they leave as men, you know, and for the things that he's done, I mean, literally, and you know, I don't even mind talking about it, he did not do really well academically in high school. We had to really work with him to, you know, to get through, to get his test scores, to get everything up, and then to see him evolve to a guy that's a 3.0 student. We don't worry about academics anymore, doing the right things. To see him as a young guy, and he had a good freshman year and his sophomore year, about midway through the San Jose game, he got a little ankle, and you know what? He could have played through it. He just didn't. He kind of, it hurt and this and that. And he had to learn how to grow through some of that stuff. And since then, I mean, God, he's played through injuries. He's played through hard times. He's really done a great job of helping us win games. We've won more games in a shorter period of time than we have in a long time. We've been more competitive than we have. And a lot of that has to do with him. So 40 touchdowns. I understand if he scores one more, he'll be the fifth all-time guy in the Mountain West for scoring touchdowns. He's UNLV's all-time leading rusher. I believe he broke the record already for the most 100-yard games in school history. And he's 171 yards away from the all-time record. You know, 171 is a lot to ask. So, you know, we'll see what he does. But regardless, he goes down as one of the great Rebels of all time.
And that record for most 100-yard games that he broke stood for 45 years. All-American Mike Thomas had that record, 1973-74. So, and we're going to talk to Lexington Thomas tonight. He's our interview tonight, the second half of the show.
The crazy stat, though, real quick, is, you know, it's funny. So Armani's missed a bunch of games, and he's 250 yards past where Lexington was at the end of his sophomore year. Pretty scary, right?
Yeah, that's pretty scary. Look out. I mean, the record might stand for too long if Armani has anything to say about it.
Yeah, no question about that. But you know, we're going to talk to Lexington in the second half of this conversation about a variety of things, his thoughts as he reflects back on his career as he's playing his final game in a Rebel uniform. But one of my favorite things, and Lexington and I have talked about this in the past, about a young guy who has a lifetime of being told repeatedly, you're too small.
Yeah.
How are you going to play football?
He talks about
you're too
that all
small.
The time.
Yeah. And he'll get that little wry smile on his face. He'll say, I want to thank the guys back in junior high who motivated me by telling me I could never make it this far. And, you know, so we're going to hear from him a little bit later on. Now, Noah Bean, touchdown pass.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
It was, and you know, him and Jamal Neal. You've seen Jamal Neal against San Diego State run the ball well,
right?
And then you saw him catch his first touchdown. You know, they're both redshirt freshmen. And Noah Bean's as talented as a guy on our roster. The thing we challenge him every day is learning how to be a worker, working every single day, attention to detail. You know, it's funny. You recruit these guys, and they're very, very talented. And they're like, well, I can run, I can jump, I can do all these great things. Well, you got to study the playbook. You got to understand your assignments. You got to learn about pad level, about doing the details. So I'll tell you what, as the season's gone on, he's gotten better and better and better, and he's starting to realize that there is no, you know, playing time in sight without the work that comes behind it and the attention to detail, and he got rewarded for it. He's been working really hard. It was great to see him make that catch. I think he'll do even more this week, and he's got a chance to be one of the better receiving tight ends we've had, you know, since I've been there.
I think on that play, that touchdown, that's one of the I think my favorite, especially against that coverage, kind of the G7 coverage where, you know, the high-low read. the understanding he showed on running that route, the patience he had and getting to his depth first before, you know, bending it inside just a little bit. And then, obviously, he's wide open. Making that catch is not easy, especially, you know, it's your first touchdown. You know, you're getting it back in the end zone. You're nervous as all heck.
Oh, yeah.
You can see how excited he was.
He caught the ball, and it's like he paused, and then he looked like me. Chest bumped somebody and fell down.
I wasn't going to bring that
up.
Oh, that's funny stuff. All right, the quarterback platoon.
Yeah.
You had Max and you had Armani. And Caleb, I want you to weigh in on this also from what you saw. But, Coach, how your assessment of how that went overall?
You know, I thought Max came out and did a really good job of making the run checks. You know, he threw some good balls. I mean, he did some really, really good things to move us down there. And we had, going into the game, we had said, okay, first series, the second quarter, or fourth series, depending on how it went. And sure enough, it worked out perfectly. You know, first quarter ended. Armani went in the beginning of the second quarter. He did a really good job, too. And the one thing we were all kind of curious about is when he, you know, all right, in this game, the protection's going to break down at some point. At some point, he's going to run a read zone and have to pull it. What did it look like? And I tell you what, he looked good. I mean, the first time when the protection broke down, he got out of there, you know, got us a first down. Later on, we ran to Chicago, and he pulled it. And I mean, he just darted around the left edge, and it was like, wow, okay, good. This guy is, he's healthy, and he's gaining confidence. And he threw some really good balls. Nice touchdown pass to Evan Owens. Beautiful third down completion, you know, across the middle. I believe that was to Presley or Woods.
Yep.
Right.
We threw some really, really good balls, so it was good to see. And then again, you know, Max, you know, I thought they both played well, you know, played well enough for us to win.
I think both quarterbacks did play well. I think they, you know, looking at the final stat sheet, kind of some hidden things. There's some incomplete passes, obviously, but contested catches. Just kind of good defense sometimes wins in those situations. But it was good to see Armani, like you said, that 19-yard pickup he had where it was, you know, 19 yards, quick, fast, and in a hurry. You missed that on the zone read, on the read option out of your quarterback. But also, I want to give kudos to Max because going into a game knowing that that's going to be the situation, it can, you know, you can lose focus and kind of start pressing and trying to make a play, maybe change people's minds and stay in the game a little bit longer. But he came out and executed the game plan, I think, really good in the first half. I think that first half, both quarterbacks did a great job of executing the game plan and converting when they needed to on big plays. Like you said, Max threw a touchdown early in the game to kind of get things started for the Rebels on offense. So both quarterbacks, I think, handled the situation good. I think late in the second half, as it became clear that, you know, Armani's good to go, he's 100%, he feels good out there. You know, obviously he gives you a whole different element in that game. So all in all, I think both quarterbacks did what they were asked to do and did it pretty good.
Last year, Armani's freshman year, Lexington obviously had a huge year. This year, he's had his best games when Armani's been in the game, and for the six games he was gone. Lex had some good games, but some games that weren't quite up to his own standard. Is that a coincidence?
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason. I mean, Armani not being in there is huge. I mean, when you know, you got a dynamic guy like Lex, but then you got a two-headed monster back there, you know, with because here's the deal. Everybody knows Armani's got a live arm. You have to cover in the back end. You can't just load the box and play nobody in the middle of the field because he's got a live arm. He can drop to 65, 70 yards. I mean, so people know that. So they're always getting a little bit of a hang there, right? So what are you going to take away? A lot of people, because of Armani's ability, they put an extra guy on him and it just frees Lex up. And with his speed, you get him into space and, you know, he's unbelievably dynamic. So those two guys, I mean, you know, Lex is great in his own right. You saw it. He's got multi 100-yard games, you know, without Armani, you know, last week, this week. He's done great things without it. But when the two are together, they're lethal. I mean, they're as good as a 1-2 punch as there is in the Mountain West, if not in the West, you know. So I would have loved to have seen what those two guys would have done together for an entire year. I mean, we saw a little bit of it last year. You know, it is what it is. You know, regardless, Lexington's have a great career. But, you know, again, you know, having Armani, you know, coming back for multiple years, you know, you get the right guy next to him. You know, you got Charles Williams, and, you know, you've got, you know, Trey Collinsworth, who's out this year. He's coming off, you know, an injury, a labrum surgery, bringing in a couple guys, Chad Magyar and stuff. You know, I think you're going to see – I don't think this is the end of the 1,000-yard rusher next to him, and a lot of it has to do with him.
That's right. One of the plays early when Armani first came in the game in the first half, just speaking to what Coach is talking about, having him on the field, mentioned the deep shot. There's a zone read. Armani didn't even keep his zone read until a couple of series into the game. He didn't keep any of them pretty much, and that's kind of, you know, just the way he was reading the thing. But on one of the early downs, he hands it off to Lex on the simple inside handoff, and there's two defenders, the safety that was coming down screaming, making the tackle early in the game, maybe 4 or 5 yards down the field, but he's coming down with his nose to the football. He had to come down and take a peek just to make sure Armani didn't keep it. So the safety and the defensive end both hung out on the outside of the play, and Lex slid us down for a first down pickup. And that's one of the things that having Armani out there, the defense, once they saw big number one back there, I mean, he's an imposing specimen of an athlete anyway. So seeing him in the backfield, it changes the way he approaches things. And then knowing what he can do on the zone re-keep and with his legs automatically frees you. So opening up holes like that for Lex, the little hidden things that maybe you don't see or in the stat sheet that Armani can contribute to the running game.
Was there any, in your mind, Caleb, any sort of parallel on any level at all with what Coach was describing about Armani and Lexington and when you played with Tim Cornette?
I think so, but it was in a different context. I think I didn't affect the game the way Armani does on the ground. I wasn't nearly as good a runner as Armani is, but I had a real understanding of when it was appropriate to throw the ball and when I should get out of the play and go to a pass. And that, I think, was missing a little bit throughout Tim Cornette's career before I started taking the number one calls. And I think it was missing in our offense. I think we kind of ran in some predictable situations, and it kind of bottled Tim up as a running back. So when I came and our passing game really got going, we were explosive. We were spreading it out, getting the ball out quick. That was kind of my wheelhouse, getting the ball out quick and making the right, you know, the box count checks and making sure we had the right play called. It made defenses, you know, have to play it a little more honest. And I think in that way it kind of helped Tim out on the ground game and helped the line out also in the run block situations because teams had to play it straight.
We're going to take our first break on the Tony Sanchez Show, live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. A whole lot more coming up, including the entire second half show in which we'll have a chat with Lexington Thomas. But in the meantime, this is the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield.
Traffic. It can be more stressful than that last-second Hail Mary pass, but Nissan changed the game. Nissan Rogue has available Nissan Intelligent Mobility, like ProPilot Assist, that can start and stop in highway traffic all on its own and help keep you centered. Nissan Rogue. It's a game-changer. Get to Nissan, proud partner of the UNLV Rebels. ProPilot Assist is an available feature and cannot prevent collisions. Always monitor traffic conditions. Keep both hands on the steering wheel. See owner's manual for safety information.
Anyone can do delivery, but when you consider the source, only Smith's can bring you the fresh, delicious food and quality products you already know and love. And no matter how you like to get your groceries, Smith's makes it easy with store pickup. Or if you like, you can choose delivery too. So now it's easier than ever to check out while you're chillin' when you shop online with the Smiths app or at smithsfoodanddrug.com. Try it and see.
A great time! Your entertainment destination, the South Point, invites you to experience the ultimate
great time
under one roof.
Bowling,
dancing, a live show, a movie, delicious dining, and one of South Point's 11 restaurants. So much to see,
so much to do.
You won't know where to start first. This week, make it a South Point week and discover for yourself why the South Point is your entertainment destination for a great time.
Imagine an ER waiting room with your favorite blanket and pillow, your cat's Pixel and Widget, and your mom's chicken soup. At Dignity Health, we know the only thing worse than being in pain is being stuck in an ER waiting room. So we offer In Quicker. You get an estimated ER arrival time online so you can start your wait at home. It's just another way of putting leading-edge medicine within easy reach. Learn more at strosehospitals.org/ER. Dignity Health, including St. Rose Dominicans, Rose de Lima, San Martin, and Siena campuses in Henderson and Las Vegas. Hello, human kindness.
Insurance doubt can pop up when you least expect it, like when you realize your home might be in a flood zone, or when you realize you don't know what a deductible is, so you text mom and she replies with a 40-part answer, or when you're ziplining and aren't sure if your wedding ring is covered. If you have insurance doubt, call a AAA agent, visit a branch, or AAA.com/outsmart. Outsmart insurance doubt. AAA. Outsmart life.
Diamondback Land Surveying is your one-stop shop for all your professional and technical land surveying needs. They'll provide everything you need for your next site. No job is too big or too small for Diamondback Land Surveying. Whether you're building a block wall or mapping the next Taj Mahal, Diamondback Land Surveying does it all. Call them today at 823-DBLS. That's 823-3257. Or check them out at diamondbacklandsurveying.com. 823-3257.
Here in Clark County, we love counting Rebel touchdowns, the seconds until another victory, and the thousands of fans in scarlet and gray. We also love counting those who say, "Count me in," to helping a child in need. Our community has over 3,000 children in the foster care system in need of a safe, loving, and temporary home. Can the Department of Family Services count you in, Rebel fans? To learn more about how to support our children in foster care, call 702-455-0181 or visit clarkcountyfosters.org.
Finley Toyota and football, it's the two things I love most about autumn. Falling prices on 2018 year-end clearance models means more chances to catch up on the deal you can't pass up. So take your running game right to Finley Toyota and we'll do anything to sell you a car. Because I'm John Barr and I've got your back. Quarterback!
He'll do anything, he'll do anything. At Finley Toyota, we'll do anything to sell you a car.
Quarterback Cole McDonald working out of a shotgun. Four-man front for the Rebels. There's the snap. Three-step drop. McDonald looking in the middle of the field, throwing, and it's intercepted by Drew Techman. Techman running it back to the 25. He's at the 30, near sideline. 35, 40, 45, out of bounds near midfield. Drew Techman, a wide receiver, lining up in the secondary, picks it off.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back here in the Tony Sanchez Show at Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. Don't miss a big play, speaking of big plays, while you're checking your phone. Don't let that happen. Access the Contour Sports app from Cox with voice control or through the main menu and get stats and scores on your TV screen without interrupting the game. Visit cox.com/contour to learn more. And the show is also brought to you in part by Dignity Health, where we know no one wants to be in an ER waiting room for long. That's why we offer a service that allows you to wait at home, because healing takes more than medicine. It also takes understanding. Learn more at strosehospitals.org/ER. Well, coming out of that break, you heard the radio call from this past Saturday's game at Hawaii. Drew Techman stepping in to intercept the pass. And, Coach, I know obviously the secondary's been banged up, but what about Techman down the road? Are we going to see him out there more?
Well, you'll see him this week. You know, and obviously that's a big conversation piece in the offseason, you know, moving forward, what we do with him. You know, he's been a really good receiver. He's caught some touchdown passes, done some good things, good blocker on the perimeter, special teams guy. But we always knew. I mean, he was a guy that got offered by a bunch of schools, too, to play defensive back, and he really wanted to be a receiver. So,
yeah, in high school, he had a good career at that.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, he had multiple Division I offers in the secondary. So that's a conversation we need to have with him. Right now he'll do a little bit of both. But you saw how talented he is. He had a couple pass breakups, had some great coverages, had an interception. He's done really well on special teams all year, and he's a big physical guy. You know, we have three safeties right now that are out for the year. So it's one of those deals where not a lot of depth in that area. So we just went to the next best athlete that does it, and he made an impact on the game.
Yeah, you mentioned we talked about the interception, which we heard coming out of the break, but he had an equally impressive, in fact, in some ways a more impressive play, breaking up that post pattern over the middle. It was a really, really great play by him.
Yeah, I mean, you just saw his acceleration. You know, the guy's, you know, he's right on the guy's hip, ball's in the air, he accelerates, knocks it down. And then he also had another play on our sideline where a guy broke out, and he's hip to hip and just, you know, got in there enough for, you know, to make it uncomfortable for the receiver. So he's been impressive. In the last couple of weeks watching him in one-on-ones, he does a really good job. So, you know, a lot of times, too, you know, when you do your recruiting, you always got to, you know, take some notes on guys and you talk about that. What is their other spot? What's the other thing they could do? Remember a couple of years ago, we had no quarterbacks left. We were literally down to one guy, you know, trying not to burn a guy's red shirt. And, you know, we had Hawthorne, who had played quarterback before,
right,
in high school.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
we made sure he got some reps. And you always got to be thinking about that. Like, all right, you know, who on the defensive line can play offensive line? You know, what wide receiver can play DB? Heck, a couple years ago when all the receivers were gone, Jericho Flowers caught a touchdown against Wyoming. We ended up winning the game. You know, people forget about
wow.
that stuff. You know,
yeah, yeah.
So, you know, we've always kind of kept it in the back of our mind that guys can do both things.
So do you ever – talking about recruiting and keeping things in mind, have you ever recruited a guy as, you know, kind of a fantasy lingo here, as like a flex player, like just an athlete, like we're not going to define him yet to like a receiver or a running back, we're going to kind of let him develop in the system, see what we can do with him before, or whatever he's, you know, best at, then we'll go with that?
Well, it's funny you say that, because the first 2 years, you know, we really didn't, because we had so many depth issues in certain areas, so we were really trying to fix the roster. We had too many running backs on left linemen, you know, in down throw and so forth. This last year, we really did that. We said, all right, who are the guys? So, like Chad Magyar, we brought him in. We knew he could be a linebacker, safety / running back. He'd be something. Austin Ajike, right? Same thing. You know, out of San Jose Bellarmine, he's a running back / linebacker, something. Well, it's funny, we brought them both in. They were both signed as kind of running backs. They've both played on the defensive side of the ball the last 7 weeks, right? And Austin's going to be a linebacker. Chad, the jury's not out yet. We don't really need him right now because of all the, you know, stable of backs we have. But going into the spring, he may be a guy who fights for the starting job.
Interesting. We're discussing versatility here. Of course, Caleb played multiple positions, but just a little as an aside on the same topic, working in baseball as I have for a long time. I had a chance to chat with a gentleman many years ago named George Kissel, who was one of the architects of some of the great Cardinal teams of the 1980s. And I said to him, Whitey Herzog, who's in the Hall of Fame, used to ask George Kissel for advice. That's how high up this guy was on the ladder. And I said to him, "If what sort of individual would you pursue if you wanted to start from scratch and building a great baseball team?" And he went off the rails into football. He said, "I'd want all quarterbacks because they're athletic, they're smart, they're strong, and they can be molded, many of them, to be adaptable to a lot of different things."
Well, thank you, Russ.
Well, yeah. Thank George. He's up there somewhere.
Yeah,
he's in a big bullpen in the sky.
You know, it's been true. And I think even in UNLV history, if you look back at it, there's been a few quarterbacks that Mike Clausen comes to mind immediately that started as quarterbacks and ended up playing a different – he ended up playing safety and helping out on defense. I, of course, started at quarterback. Never played receiver before, but just playing around a couple times during the summertime, you know, giving a scout look for the defensive guys – somebody said, "Oh, hey, you might be able to do this." And then when things happened, I ended up playing receiver for a little bit and did okay, held up. I wasn't great at it, but like you said, you can learn a position sometimes just when you have the tool set that you need. So that makes sense to have a bunch of guys that can fill different slots whenever they need to be moved around a little bit.
Well, it's funny because when it comes to recruiting, and a lot of coaches will say, you know, I mean, I know that's kind of how they built the TCU program with Patterson and such. You know, in high school, what do? You put your best players at quarterback and running back because you want them to touch the ball all the time, right?
Yeah.
If you recruited nothing but quarterbacks and running backs, you'd have great guys in the secondary, wide receivers. Problem is, you got to find guys. And it used to be easy, right? You recruit a guy, and all they cared about was getting on the field. Nowadays, they have a real, real dug-in perception of who they are and what they are, you know?
That is true.
Sometimes they don't want to move. So, you know, you got to make sure that there's a good conversation, a good understanding that this really is best for that player and for the team. And if they don't want to do it, you can't force them to do it because they won't be effective at it, you know? So but there's no doubt your best athletes are your running backs and your quarterbacks in high school. I mean, you put your best guys where the football is.
How often do you see on the recruiting path guys anymore playing two ways in high school even? Because that used to be kind of the norm. Like you said, if you're the best guy, you're playing on both sides. I need you on the field the whole game. How often do you see it nowadays? Like, is there still guys that are going two ways, dominating the field like that?
You know, it's funny, not as many as you'd think. I mean, it's very few. I mean, it really has become, you know, a one-position type deal. You know, sometimes you recruit those schools that have, you know, 30 guys on a team, and so you'll see that guy, you know, that wide receiver play some DB, and that running back play some linebacker and or DB, depending on the size. Quarterbacks usually don't, you
right,
know.
Right, right.
But yeah, I mean, how good of a high school, you know, defensive end would Armani have been, or when you think about stuff like
oh
that.
Oh my goodness,
the end,
pass rush,
right?
Specialist.
But it's funny when you think about guys like that. You know, Mike Hughes. You know, he was a great player for us. You know, and he was a D lineman in high school. Didn't play O line. You're like, really? You know, you think he would have? But that's just kind of how people roll now.
Yeah, and of course, if you want to really, really, really hit the jackpot in terms of versatility, if you're a quarterback, you can prove your versatility by becoming a radio analyst.
There you go.
That's amazing. That's the most impressive thing he's ever done.
Right here.
Caleb, when you played, could you understand what a defensive player was thinking in any given position, any given point in the game, what his thought process was?
Yeah, I think that's part of the growth as a quarterback as well. I think you start learning what your team does, what your team feels like when they run down the field. But once you start to kind of understand, even in just the rhythm of the game, of what you've been running, keeping kind of a back of your head track of what the plays you've been running or what this play looks like from his side of the ball. And you can kind of play with his emotions, so to speak. Like, if he knows if I've been – it almost got to the point at times where I could bait a guy into moving just based on what I looked like. Like, when I'm dropping back to pass, if I'm looking this way, and I'd say, I look this way, and now at the last minute I'll look back right. And then I'll throw it. And that'll be my throw. And I'll do that three times. And every so often, the safety will be like, okay, I figured him out. I got him. The next time I do it, I look left and I look right, and I don't throw it, and I'll throw the post right where he vacates. And that's like the next level thing where you can kind of read the body language of the defender that they're trying to process things like that. But that's like, you know, the progression of understanding the game and I think learning the game, just playing it more and more where you start to kind of see it from another guy's shoes. Playing receiver, I think, did help me a little bit, getting out there and feeling the spacing on the outside, realizing there's more space out there than I believe. But one of the things at quarterback is just getting your eyes off the rush. I think once I got blind to the rush and I just looked at the shell of the defense and kind of trusted what I saw on film, everything kind of slowed down and I was able to see the big picture from multiple different spots on the field.
As far as the second half of the Hawaii game, Coach, Jameer Outsy had a couple of interesting comments, and he said, you know, when you get out there, you can't allow yourself to get distracted by whatever it is that's going on out there, kind of implying that maybe some of the players were distracted by the crowd or some element thereof. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I, you know what, Jameer's a great kid, and I think he was a little frustrated by the outcome of the game, you know, rightfully so. And I think he was kind of, you know, just referring to the fact that, you know, some of those big plays we gave up, there's no reason to. You know, you get a curl route on a curl wheel route, and we jump the curl, and you just don't do that in quarters, and, you know, that can't happen. We got a four vertical against the Tampa 2, and, you know, you got a safety kind of gets lost there. I mean, real easy play to defend, and I think that's just him, you know, being a little frustrated, just, you know, just wondering, hey, did some of the guys get lost in some of that stuff? So, you know, heck, he's a great kid. He's a competitor, and I love the comments. It's just him being real.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that going there's distractions within the game, and not just, you know, based on where you're playing or what the fans are saying, but there's just lapses of focus that creep in if you're not completely locked into your assignment. And I think it can be, you know, the officials missing a call. Maybe you felt like there was a hold or something, and then defensively you're hanging on that for the next play, and all of a sudden you miss an assignment. Or maybe you missed an assignment the series before, and you're still hanging on yourself about it, and that carries on. Those are the kind of distractions, I think, that creep in. And like you said, when you're frustrated after a loss, especially playing in Hawaii, which they were a hostile crowd. They understood that, you know, and they showed up. They did what, you know, a home crowd is supposed to do, try to get under the skin of the opposing team as much as they could. Especially in situations like that, I think the frustration of losing that kind of game brings those type of comments to light. And I think there's honesty there in letting distractions kind of take away from their performance on the field.
Grateful that we still had a respectable broadcast, even though they tried to distract us with a parking situation. But that's another story.
Oh, wow. We won't even dive into
that. But that's a big penalty flag.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got the whole second half of the show coming up. We're going to discuss Reno, the Wolfpack, coming up this Saturday, 6:30 at Sam Boyd. And it should be a nice night out there. Inviting you to come on out, watch the Rebels one last time, and see how they do against their in-state rivals. Last year, tough game. Rebels led most of the way. Reno able to pull it out. We're going to take our second break and come back with a lot more. This is the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield.
Make your car shine at the Showtime Car Wash on Rainbow and Warm Springs. Get your car washed with a 100% guarantee or your money back. Monday through Friday at $11.95, early bird special, plus window tinting and more. Uber and Lyft drivers get $3 off. Showtime Premier Car Wash on Rainbow and Warm Springs.
Insurance doubt can pop up when you least expect it. Like when you're a rideshare driver and question if you're covered. Or when you park too close to a driving range and wonder how to claim 26 dents. Or when you look up car insurance online and end up in a search result rabbit hole. If you have insurance doubt, call a AAA agent, visit a branch, or AAA.com/outsmart. Outsmart insurance doubt. AAA. Outsmart life.
Diamondback Land Surveying is your one-stop shop for all your professional and technical land surveying needs. They'll provide everything you need for your next site. No job is too big or too small for Diamondback Land Surveying. Whether you're building a block wall or mapping the next Taj Mahal, Diamondback Land Surveying does it all. Call them today at 823-DBLS. That's 823-3257. Or check them out at DiamondbackLandSurveying.com. 823-3257.
A great time! Your entertainment destination, the South Point, invites you to experience the ultimate
great time
under one roof.
Bowling,
dancing, a live show, a movie, delicious dining, and one of South Point's 11 restaurants. So much to see, so much to do. You won't know where to start first. This week, make it a South Point week and discover for yourself why the South Point is your entertainment destination for a great time.
Imagine an ER waiting room with your favorite blanket and pillow, your cat's Pixel and Widget, and your mom's chicken soup. At Dignity Health, we know the only thing worse than being in pain is being stuck in an ER waiting room. So we offer in quicker. You get an estimated ER arrival time online so you can start your wait at home. It's just another way of putting leading-edge medicine within easy reach. Learn more at strosehospitals.org/ER. Dignity Health, including St. Rose Dominican's Rose de Lima, San Martin, and Siena campuses in Henderson and Las Vegas. Hello, humankindness.
The Department of Family Services works tirelessly to ensure every child thrives in a safe, loving, and supportive home. But we cannot do it alone. Just like the Rebels need the offense, defense, and special teams working together to win, we need the entire community to come together as a team to support our children and their families as they work towards becoming whole again. To learn more about how to support our children in need, call 702-455-0181 or visit clarkcountyfosters.org.
Hey, ESPN's Neil Everett here telling you how to win big. Score a Nissan Titan just by customizing one. Go to NissanUSA.com/Titan Sweepstakes. Build your Titan, choose your school's colors, then register for your chance to win today.
Get to Nissan, proud supporter of college athletics. No purchase necessary. Ends 12-10-18. Open to legal residents of the 50 U.S. and D.C. 18 and older. To enter and for official rules, visit NissanUSA.com/Titan Sweepstakes.
He's going to hit one deep down the field. And it's caught! It's a touchdown!
There's nothing like that moment when your team clinches a win. The Friday night lights, all those Saturday tailgate traditions, hours in front of the TV on Sunday. Football means tradition. Whether you played or cheered along, the feeling of game day never ends. Join the community and celebrate the game. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Football Matters.
Take care of your car at Showtime Automotive Center. ASE certified mechanic, so no job is too big or small. Brakes, AC, transmission work, even oil changes start at $19.99. Showtime Automotive Center, Rainbow and Warm Springs, open 7 days a week.
Inside handoff, Lexington Thomas, he breaks it, he's gone, he's at the 10-5, touchdown Rebels. Oh my goodness, lightning strikes again here on the island. And with 2:22 to go in a half, the Rebels lead it 20-3 with the extra point coming up.
Welcome back to Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road as the Tony Sanchez Show rolls on with the following.
Yes.
Finley Chevrolet is your home for.
Woo!
Come by today and see why thousands have made the switch to. Woo! Woo! Finley Chevrolet, located between Rainbow and Jones, Nevada's number one volume Chevrolet dealer. Find new roads.
Now, when we do the game broadcast on Saturday, it's the last game of the season, we're going to make Finley Chevrolet very happy because Caleb and I are going to have a woo-off.
Oh,
see
man,
who does
be
it
amazing.
Better.
That would be
that's
amazing.
Right. That's
if,
right.
It would be even better if we could have Ric Flair himself
there you go.
In the booth.
Oh, well.
And have a woo-off with him. That would be awesome.
You know,
it?
It's great to have these lofty goals.
Yeah. I mean, well, he was on the sideline of the Rams Chiefs game. I know everybody was tuned into that one. Probably the game of the week or game of the year for the NFL. But he was on the sideline actually doing his woo for that Rams Chiefs game on Monday night. So, I mean, it's possible maybe. We'll see if we can work on that.
Well, the Rebels did make some good defensive stops in the Hawaii game. But coming up, Coach, this Saturday against Reno, what are some of the key things to look for in that game?
Well, Ty Ganji, man, is a good player. Their quarterback, he does a really good job of managing that offense, making really good decisions. He can throw the ball really good underneath, throws a really good ball vertical. So we got to do a really good job back there. Obviously, you know, one of the things we've done all year is we've given up some big plays in the back end. We've got to really do a good job playing back there. If we can play run defense the way we have the last couple of weeks, that'll be to our benefit. So we've got to be stout. And then offensively, we're at our best when we're able to run the football. It sets up some, you know, play-action passes, you know, get some opportunities through there. But got to get our run game going early and often. You know, if we do that, I think it gives us a great opportunity.
This in being a rivalry game, there's always something special. Somebody's got to be special in these type of games. Do you, as a coach, prepare for, you know, potential trick plays? Do you think of them as trying to pull a fast one on you just to get the momentum on their side in this kind of game?
You know, these type of games, you got to be ready for everything. You know, you got to be ready. They're gonna do something you haven't seen. You know, and we're gonna do something they haven't seen. You know, I mean, it's, you know, on both sides of the ball. The biggest thing is, you know, beating the guy to the punch. You know what I'm saying? You want to make sure that, you know, you're the one who strikes first with it rather than them, and you know, you kind of keep them off tilt. So I know last year, God, I mean, right off the bat, they came out, ran a little wheel route, you know, back out of the backfield, caught the ball down the right sideline, scored on the second play. It's like, here we go. You know, we settled down and did some really good things too, but you just got to eliminate that stuff.
Wolfpack coach Jay Norvell was talking earlier in the week about the reason why their defensive line has become so stout against the run. Much improved because wasn't that long ago where they averaged 250 pounds a man on the line, and now they're up to 280.
Yeah, I think they're a little bigger than that last year, looking at the film. But they've got some good guys that have done a really, really good job. And, yeah, they definitely need to improve there. And they've done a really good job of, you know, building that roster and playing really good football this year. You know, they've had a lot of close games, and they found a way to, you know, win a bunch of games at the end.
Obviously, Coach, you've been in the Vegas area for quite some time. You knew about the rivalry when you took the job. How has it changed in the years since you've taken over as the head coach? How has your opinion or your view of it changed now that you're actually out there calling the games?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's one thing to see it from the outside and understand the intensity. It's another thing to be in the middle of it. It's heated. It's personal. It's in a good way. I mean, it's not personal in a way where you're trying to, you know, do bad things.
Slashing tires or anything like
that. Yeah, but it's like, man, it eats at you. You know what I'm saying? You win it, you realize. I mean, I realized after that first year, I'm trying to get our guys ready for it. And, you know, we went out there and, you know, big upset, you know, won that game. And you really see the impact that it had on our community and people around. Like, wow. And then, you know what it's like to lose it too. And then you see the adverse, you know, the opposite effect on everything. So it's an important deal. And, you know, the hardest thing for us is educating the younger guys earlier, because I think when Vegas was smaller, when we had, you know, 500,000, 600,000, 700,000 people in town, you know, it was a little bit more prevalent year-round, right? There's so much going on that, especially our younger guys, if they hadn't played in or they redshirted, we got guys like, you know, Noah Bean and stuff like that. They've never played against these guys yet. They didn't travel last year. They've never seen it, you know, and they're going to be in the thick of it, right? Whereas up there, it's part of their freshman orientation. You walk around campus, you see people wearing, you know, Reno shirts. It's like, you know, just on a regular Tuesday. It's like, what are you doing? That ain't allowed up there, you know, and it's just a different mindset, you know. It was funny. I got to tell you one thing. We go up there recruiting this year, and I can't say who, but we're up there, and we go to a barbecue joint, great food. It was recommended by the kid. And we sit down, we got our UNLV stuff on, and the guy that owns the place comes up. He goes, hey, guys, how you doing? UNLV football? I said, yeah. And he goes, well, I graduated from Harris College, you know. And I said, oh, that's great, man. Great to see you. I said, there's no UNLV stuff hanging out here. And he goes, are you crazy? They wouldn't know where to come here to eat.
Quick way to go out of business.
A little different there, you know. I drive down to 215, and I see the big old Reno deal right over here on one of these title companies. Drives me crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell you what, Coach talks about making it personal. Personal experience, I could say why the game was personal to me. My worst game collegiate football, maybe my worst game ever quarterbacking, was at UNR. So the first year I started, redshirt sophomore year, I was 1-for-8 with an interception for 8 yards. That was my stat. End of the game, not first quarter. End of the game, that's how I finished it. Booed, you know, and it's in Reno. I'm the laughing stock. Terrible. We lose, obviously, the game playing like that. And I sit on that for 2 years because I played receiver the next year, didn't get to play quarterback again. Then the next year we go up to UNR. And I'm starting again at this point where our season's turned around, and I got nothing but vengeance on my mind, right? So I'm in the playbook, game plan. I'm eating, sleeping, dreaming about beating the Wolfpack, right? Come out and have my best game, in my opinion, in my college career against those guys. 300-plus yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, game-winning touchdown throw, and a red cannon coming back to Vegas. So full circle right there, I could sum up my college career using Reno, and that's how much they meant to me being a player and playing it. Like you said, I didn't understand it when they told me, you got an in-state rival when you're getting recruited. You're there, in-state rival with Reno. That's a team up north that you play every year. Okay, big deal. Now playing in it, being able to see both sides of it, losing that cannon and watching it carted off, painted blue, then being able to cart it back home and having that whole ceremony painted red out there, totally different ball game once you're involved in it.
And we went back to the archives to find out what your post-game comments were, and you were very eloquent when you said, "Woo!" That's right. So,
plain and simple.
But you know, it's interesting, Coach, because you've got several seniors. This is their bow out game, but it really takes playing in a game, playing, experiencing that whole rivalry thing to really know what it's about, doesn't it?
It really is. I mean, you know, just, you got to play in it, and I think playing in it multiple times is a big thing too. You know, sometimes you get those guys that are 2-year JUCO guys, and they come on in, and you know, they get 1 year of it, and it's like, well, they realize it. But those guys that are the 4-year guys that have redshirted or played, been around for a bunch of years, and they've been in multiple ones, they really have a great understanding of what it's all about. So, you know, it's our original recruiting class. You know, we've got 5 guys that'll be, that's it, only 5. We've got 10 of them that are all redshirted, and then the other guys were JUCO guys. But it's Lexington Thomas, Xavier Campbell, Bailey Lilangi, You've got Nathan Jacobson and Solanoa Wiley. You know, and those guys have, man, I tell you what, they know what it's like to win it. They know what it's like to lose it. And they have a great opportunity, though, because not a lot of guys have gone out there and won 50% of their career. You know, we'd like to make that margin more, but then go out there and get a W on Saturday. That's pretty big, saying, hey, half my career I own that cannon.
I say one of the interesting things, you mentioned it this week in the press conference about the plaque, getting your name literally engraved in stone. You mentioned, I didn't know this until you mentioned it this Monday, that it's going to be those plaques that are outside of Rebel Park are going to be moved inside to the Petita Complex. So forever, your name goes up there. I can go back there right now and find my name on the plaque. We beat Reno in 2013. So that's, you know, one of the cooler things as a senior that you have to play
for. Well, the big thing, and I told our guy, I mean, I was really poignant about it. It's like, hey, there's a big deal when you're sitting there and you're a grown man and you have your own son or your daughter and you got your family and you walk into that new lobby in the football complex and you walk right over and you point to your name. I was here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
That's a big deal.
Now, discuss, if you would, Coach, the packet that the players got that sort of reviews the rivalry and gets them up to speed.
We put it together. You know, I didn't want the staff worrying about it, so I did it myself. I put it together at last week, and it just, you know, had a picture of the cannon, talked about the rivalry, no one wears blue in the building. It's got the picture of when, you know, we won the cannon and we were getting it refurbished, and they had engraved inside of it UNLV, University, not a lot of victories, right? So you saw that. And it was funny because they said, oh, we'll get rid of that. I said, no, leave that on. That's part of the history. Leave that there,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Motivation.
And I think, I don't know, something may have been put in on our end when it went back to them. And my understanding is they got rid of it, which, shame on them, you know.
Poor sports.
But, yeah, come on, that's part of the rivalry, right? But, you know, that was in there. And then we, you know, Wikipedia, literally the history of it. And then we put in the winning percentages, who's done what, and, you know, what classes have held it the most. Just, we just want them to know about it, what it means. And then we have pictures of ourselves painting the cannon. We have pictures of them painting the cannon. So they know that, hey, so, you know, the cannon's either going to stay blue or it's going to turn red. But you got to go fight for that, and that matters.
All right. Now, we discussed earlier, Lexington Thomas, regardless of what happens this Saturday, he will go down in history as one of the greatest running backs ever to suit up in a UNLV uniform. And our conversation right now with Lexington Thomas. Lexington Thomas joining us this evening. Lexington, first of all, tough game with the Hawaii team. You had a nice lead going in the second half. What were some of the things that, in your mind, that happened that prevented the Rebels from carrying out the win?
We just came out flat in the second half. We didn't have that much energy. We got complacent with the lead.
Okay. Now, everybody knows about the rivalry game, the importance of Reno. You've been here a few years now. You're a senior. What about the preparations for this game? What does it mean to the program?
With this being the last game of the season, this is basically our bowl game. And we are preparing as if this is our last game we ever play. This is literally our last game that this group of guys will ever play together with all these guys that's here right now. So we are prepared. We prepare the same way, but it's just different because it's a rivalry game. It's just a bit more intense, faster, more physical.
And let's discuss you. Now, you mentioned that when it's the last game, kind of like the bowl game. But you're a senior. This is your last game here with the Rebels not going to a bowl this year. So what goes through your mind, Lex, as you look forward to this game and maybe reflect on the career you've had here?
Basically just finishing. Like you said, we're not having a bowl game. We didn't have a year that we thought we were going to have. So it's just with me, it's just I got to finish. I got to get a team all I got for the last four quarters.
All right, visiting with Lexington Thomas on this edition of the Coach's Show, the last Coach's Show of 2018, Tony Sanchez Show. Right now, Lex, you and I talked last year, and we discussed what motivated you to reach this level, because when you were younger, you had quite a few people tell you, you're too small, you're not going to make it. For the benefit of those who weren't tuning in then, tell us about that again.
This is like a couple of people in middle school telling me like that I wasn't gonna make it to the Division I level because I was too small. It was just that type of stuff kind of motivated me, and I got to where I am now. So I literally want to thank those people for putting that chip on my shoulder.
All right. Now, in the Hawaii game, two quarterbacks. Was there any difference in feel for the offense with between Max and Armani?
Nah, we basically ran the same plays. It was all the same. I played with Armani a lot. I played with Max for, I want to say, four games. So it all felt the same to me.
Okay. A lot of electrifying touchdowns for you, a lot of big runs. You had a 45-yard run against Hawaii. You had a 75-yard game-winning run against San Diego State. And as you pointed out afterwards, that's the only touchdown you ever scored against them. But is there one play or one game in your career so far that stands out for you?
I would say probably that game, because that game meant a lot to me. But, yeah. Like I was saying, I never scored. My 4 years of being here, we never beat them. And we beat them, and I had a big deal. I mean, a big part of it. We scored the last touchdown, and as I said, that game meant a lot to me. I would say that game and the games against the Power Five schools.
Finally, you lined up at least on one occasion to return a kick. What does that mean?
I don't know what it means, but hopefully I get to do that again this week.
Lex, I appreciate the time. It's been great watching you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lexington Thomas, senior running back of the Rebels, our guest, back with a whole lot more when the Coaches Show, the Tony Sanchez Show, continues. This is the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield.
What do Vegas locals know that most visitors don't? That you can see snow in the distance on many a 100-degree day. That our home is one of the few places you might use the AC and the heater the same day. And that all that natural beauty makes this a great place to live. Which is what Yes Air Conditioning is here for. Since 1954, Yes Air Conditioning's strategy has been simple. We get your AC working and keep it working, so you don't have to think about it. Call now and have the peace of mind knowing that the Yes Man can. Call 888-4937 or visit theyesmancan.com. License 71246.
I'm attorney Matt Hoffman with Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Do you think insurance companies want you to hire an attorney? Why do you think they hire celebrities for their commercials? Do they hire them to gain your trust? Don't be fooled. Insurance companies want to pay you as little as possible, and it's my job to maximize your recovery and make sure you don't get ripped off. If you've been injured, call me, Matt Hoffman, or Justin Watkins at Battleborn Injury Lawyers, 570-9000. That's 570-9000.
This Thanksgiving, Interstate Batteries would like to take this moment to say thank you. Thank you to all our first responders, the real everyday heroes who are there in our time of need. To all our volunteers who give of themselves so someone else's day might be a little brighter. A special thank you to all our brave men and women serving in the military who put their lives on the line so we can enjoy our freedom. As we gather with family and friends, let's all be thankful for what we have. On behalf of Interstate Batteries and all their authorized dealers, happy Thanksgiving.
Finley Toyota and football, it's the two things I love most about autumn. Falling prices on 2018 year-end clearance models means more chances to catch up on the deal you can't pass up. So take your running game right to Finley Toyota and we'll do anything to sell you a car. Because I'm John Barr and I've got your back. Quarterback.
He'll do anything, he'll do anything. At Finley Toyota, we'll do anything to sell you a car.
Trips to the right. Second and 10, Rebels from their own 25. Inside hand. Now it's on the read option, Armani Rogers. 35, 40, far sideline, he's out of bounds. 19 yards for Armani Rogers and a Rebel first down.
Looking for a great car deal? Remember, nobody sells or services more vehicles in Nevada than Findlay Toyota. At Findlay Toyota, they'll do anything to sell you a car. Back here in the Tony Sanchez Show, Coach Sanchez here along with Caleb Herring, yours truly, Russ Langer. Let's go around the table on this. The greatest football player who ever lived. Go.
That's tough. You know, greatest athlete that's ever lived is Bo Jackson, but greatest football player that's ever lived, I don't know, I like the old guys. I go Jim Brown.
Ooh.
Can't
argue there.
I'm there because if you average 5.2 yards a carry for a game, you've had a good game.
You played 9 years. I'll go be an actor.
Yeah, if you average 5.2 yards a carry for a season, that's a phenomenal season. He averaged 5.2 yards a carry for his career.
Well, you know, it's hard to do in day and age, right?
Yeah. You can't
do
Joe
that. Joe Montana, some of the stuff he did, you know, it's hard to argue with some of these quarterbacks
nowadays. The game has
changed.
But nobody did that. Nobody's really come close to that number right there.
Caleb? I'd say I would. My first mind wants to say Bo, and maybe that's just, you know, like Coach said, the athleticism that he displayed in other areas, maybe not just football. But I would go Bo, and I don't have any arguments against Jim. And I think football specifically, there's so many different positions and different ways to affect the game, and I think different players at different positions have dominated the game at a high level. You mentioned like Montana. As a quarterback, you could say he dominated the game. Or Tom Brady, they're dominating the game.
Well, I was about to say, you said Tom Brady. I mean, you couldn't argue with anybody. I mean,
right.
Just winning, just
absolutely
doing. I mean, he's unbelievable.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's one of the things. Football is the ultimate team sport, and it's for that reason that so many different guys have a leg in the race of who's the greatest, truly the GOAT. Like, you almost have to classify down, even for like people do now, the greatest of all time at quarterback or the greatest of all time at running back, because it's such a different game from those two positions.
Yeah, now let's discuss this. The most unusual play you've ever seen in football, either in person or not in person.
Man, there's been some unusual ones, but I gotta say I believe it was the Packers. There was a football play, a receiver. There was a ball that was thrown downfield, jump ball. Like, both kind of went up and the defender batted it down. I can't remember who the receiver was. I'm pretty sure the Packers were on offense. I don't know who the receiver was. The ball actually came down and landed on his leg as he's laying on the ground after falling from the jump ball. He rolls over and keeps it in between his legs, picks it up from his leg, stands up and runs. The defender has no idea. He's, like, thinking it's an incomplete pass. He's celebrating, whatever, and the receiver gets up and runs by him for a touchdown. And, the percentage of repeating that play, I think, is what gets me. Like, there's no way that happens again. That stroke of luck there.
I'll tell you what, my favorite one, when I was a little kid, and I was in the Bronx, New York, at my grandma's house before she passed, and with my brothers, and the night I fell in love with football, I mean, I always liked it, but I was watching Nebraska-Miami, and Nebraska ran that fumble Ruski, and that was unbelievable for the touchdown, and oh, my goodness, and that two-point conversion, you know, at the very, very end, they didn't get it. It's my favorite game of all time, because I literally was just sitting on the edge of my seat, and I was like, that's all I wanted to do after that, you know. But that fumble Ruski, what a call.
I'm going to put two, but number two would be the hook and ladder that Dolphins pulled. I think it was a Monday night game with Dan Marino. I think it was Mark Clayton. It's just like something out of a circus. But when you talk about being a little kid in New York, I was a little kid. We just moved to California. I'm going to date myself now, but watching a Jets game on TV, and the Jets were fourth and forever on their own one-yard line. And the punter, Steve O'Neill, was back. He had a punt, and his feet were almost out of the end zone. That's how far back he was, because they're on the one-yard line. And he kicked it, and he boomed it over the head of the guy, the punt returner for Raiders or Chiefs, whoever it was. And it took a couple of those mega rolls, and the ball just kept going and going and going and landed on the other one-yard line. It's in the book of world records, the longest punt ever, 98 yards from the one to the one.
I mean, I got to talk about plays from the end zone. I got to mention real quick, Randall Cunningham, obviously a UNLV alumni, his play out of the end zone where he avoids the sack and ducks underneath. I don't know how he sees the guy coming, just ducks underneath the guy, spins up. Everybody thinks he's lunch meat, as a sack, pulls it up, and he comes up clean, and then he launches a touchdown pass about 60 yards through the air downfield for a touchdown. So shout out to Randall Cunningham there.
All right, we'll take our final break and come back with the remaining moments of Tony Sanchez. This is the UNLV Sports Network on Learfield.
Make your car shine at Showtime Car Wash on Jones and Tropicana. Full service hand washes, detailing, and more. With a 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. Monday through Friday, $11.95 early bird special. Uber and Lyft drivers get $3 off. Showtime Premier Car Wash on Jones and Tropicana.
Finley Toyota and football, it's the two things I love most about autumn. Falling prices on 2018 year-end clearance models means more chances to catch up on the deal you can't pass up. So take your running game right to Finley Toyota, and we'll do anything to sell you a car. Because I'm John Barr, and I've got your back. Quarterback.
He'll do anything, he'll do anything. At Finley Toyota, we'll do anything to sell you a car.
The Learfield Director's Cup, the highly recognized mark of distinction in college athletics across all divisions, both men's and women's sports. Follow your favorite team's pursuit for excellence in this prestigious annual award through thedirectorscup.com, USA Today, or at L Director's Cup on Twitter or Facebook. Learfield Director's Cup, the crowning achievement in college athletics since 1993.
A great time! Your entertainment destination, the South Point, invites you to experience the ultimate
great time
under one roof.
Bowling,
dancing, a live show, a movie, delicious dining, and one of South Point's 11 restaurants. So much to see,
so much to do.
You won't know where to start first.
This week, make it a South Point week and discover for yourself why the South Point is your entertainment destination for a great time.
Make your car shine at the Showtime Car Wash on Rainbow and Warm Springs. Get your car washed with a 100% guarantee or your money back. Monday through Friday at $11.95, early bird special, plus window tinting and more. Uber and Lyft drivers get $3 off. Showtime Premier Car Wash on Rainbow and Warm Springs.
Welcome back to the Tony Sanchez Show, our final moment. Findlay Toyota, proud sponsor of this show and Rebel football throughout the season. Rebels kick off on this coming Saturday. It is a 6:30 kickoff, and the Rebels are inviting you. Come on out and make it count for the final time in 2018. Caleb, your quick thoughts.
Quick thoughts, rivalry game. Get out there, support the team. It's going to be I know I'm going to be there. There's going to be family there, too, supporting the team. So Rebels against Reno, it's a great game.
Coach? Hey, fired up for the game. Come on out, support the Rebs, and we're fired up to bring that cannon home.
Thanks for listening. Tony Sanchez Show, UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. Good night.
This has been the Tony Sanchez Show, presented by Findlay Toyota. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Rebels Sports Network.